If you look in the bookstores, most of it's online nowadays, you'll find tons of self-improvement books. People are constantly looking for means wherein they can make themselves better. And better in most people's books means being happy. But you can't change everything. In fact, Ingrid Law kind of captured the idea when she wrote, you can't get rid of the part that makes you you and be happy. You got to keep part of yourself. But take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his whole soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with the angels and will repay every man according to his deeds. To gain heaven, the ultimate in happiness, you have to deny yourself. You can gain, Jesus says, the whole world, get everything in it. And it is not as valuable as your own soul. Daniel Blair said, man in his spiritual pride has exchanged God's method of self-denial for Satan's plan of self-improvement. See, self-denial is not deciding to give up something. We find that in the religious world. Like, for instance, the Roman Catholics practice self-denial every spring in the season they call Lent. They give up something for Lent. And that's their idea of self-denial. Priests in the Catholic religion give up marriage. Despite what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by the means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. They deny something of themselves, but it's something that God has not said should be denied. Monks give up contact with the world. That way, you know, we'll give that up and we'll stay holy. We'll not be a part of the world. But Jesus in John chapter 17, John 17 and verse 15, says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. It's not about isolating ourselves. It's about staying away from evil. Each denial of something from yourself, but each is a self-imposed denial. And take a look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, Why, as if you're living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which after all refers to things pertaining to use, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men? These matters, which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. And you see this in the world around us. I get constantly people tell me, well, I've given up organized religion. There is a denial of religion. There's a denial of pride. There's a denial of basic needs like food. And each of them sounds good on the surface. But the problem is that these are demands that men make. And they're not the demands God has made. They don't accomplish what people think they do. Rather, in our scripture reading that we had in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." God's grace teaches us. That's the same grace that has brought us salvation. Take a look at 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." God has given us salvation. And that's that same grace that has appeared to everyone. In Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and in verse 6. Luke 3. And in verse 6, "And all flesh will see the salvation of God." But God's grace teaches us. That word "teach" there means to train, to teach, to correct, or to chastise. Oftentimes we think of teaching as just receiving information. But teaching also means correcting when we're off course. It includes then the hard things in life. Like for instance in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6. "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" And also over in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent." This is not a discipline because of judgment, but it's a discipline of refining our character, of developing us into better people. This is what God's offering to us. Now, I have to deny what I necessarily want in order to accept the discipline of God. In fact, God's grace then teaches us through that refinement and discipline and instruction that we are to deny ungodliness. Take a look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Therein is our goal. If God is going to teach us, I need to learn from God what He wants me to do. Finding out what is right. And when I do those things, then I'm living for God, but I'm denying myself. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, so as to live the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Here's the denial of self. Not doing what I want, but doing what God wants. So often when I talk to young people around the world, that's one of the big issues. But I want this. But this is, everybody else is getting to do this. But I need to do what God wants me to do. It's focusing on doing the will of somebody who is higher and greater than I am. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. We understand the soldier gives up what the individual soldier wants in order to do what the captain requires. We are soldiers for God. We give up what we want in order to do what God wants of us. So it's a denial of what I want and desire because God wants something that is more important. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Leonard Bernstein, a very celebrated orchestra conductor, was asked, "What is the hardest instrument to play?" And he replied without hesitation, "Second fiddle." I can always get plenty of first violinists. But to find someone who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now there's a problem. Yet if no one plays second, then we have no harmony. That's the difficulty we often have. We don't want to give up ourselves. Being a Christian is choosing to play second fiddle to God. And God's grace teaches us to deny worldly lusts. The whole world is under Satan's control. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we're not to love that world. Again in 1 John, this time chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also is lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. And going back to that passage in 1 Peter, we've been studying 1 Peter Sunday morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Look at, starting at verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust that was yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves as also in all your behavior. When we focus on lust, it's about what I want. When we're talking about being holy, we're focusing on what God wants. Self-denial is basically not following after the lust that we once chased. Going over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Instead of being like the world, God called us to be holy, to be separate, to be special people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 says, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. And thus we need to put to death the desires of the world. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, and starting at verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But as we mentioned also this morning's class, being righteous and being holy isn't just about getting rid of sin. You have to fill it in. And that's what Titus told us. God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness. And then he starts telling us what we need to fill it in with. It teaches us to live soberly. That word means to have a sound mind, to be prudent. In other words, to be able to think ahead, to be sensible. This is a service to ourselves, if you think about it. By denying myself the worldly things, I'm improving myself. See, ironically, self-denial leads to serving yourself in beneficial ways. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, starting with verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting of sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Men and women are to be sensible, sober-minded, clear thinkers, thinking ahead. The best thing that you can do for yourself is to keep your mind clear and reasonable. But it also teaches us, going back to Titus, it teaches us to live righteously. That's the idea of being just or fair. Now, instead of just about myself, this is service to the people that are around me, to my neighbors. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10. You're witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we have behaved towards you believers. Being upright with people, being honest, helping people do what's right. In fact, We don't want to do anything wrong to other people in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 2. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. That's how we are to behave. We are to be an example to everyone around us what it's like to be fair-minded, to be just people. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And then, going back to Titus 2:11, God also teaches us to live godly. We deny ungodliness, and he teaches us to live godly. And that word means to fall before, out of fear or respect. This is my service to God. It teaches me to serve myself by living soberly. It teaches me to serve others by living righteously. And it teaches me to live godly so I might serve God himself. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So many problems that we have in this world stem from the inability of ourselves to deny ourselves. Think about it. God wants me to be happy while they continue living in sin. They can't deny themselves. It's why self-control needs to be taught as one of the founding lessons when you're teaching somebody to become a Christian. Take a look what happened in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and in verse 25, Paul is teaching Felix and says, but as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. Unfortunately, Felix, as far as we know, never did. He had a tough time with the idea of denying himself and putting God first. We have to be willing to leave everything for Christ. Going to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 and verse 29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers and sisters, or fathers and mothers, or children, or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. We leave everything for Christ, and we gain a whole lot more. Theodore Parker says, self-denial is indispensable of a strong character. The highest kind comes from a religious stock. Are we willing to give up everything for Christ? Christ says we'll gain much, much, much more. But we have to deny what I want to say that what God wants is more important. I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here this day who's not yet a child of God, we offer time for you to become one. If there's those of you who are children of God, we'd like to pray as your brethren on behalf. Again, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, those selected.